If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20 this morning. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. This morning we're turning our attention to the second table of the law, as it's often referred to. Up to this point, the first four commands have been focusing primarily on what it means to be in right relationship with God. And this morning we began to look at those horizontal relationships that men and women have with their fellow man. Jesus, at times when he was confronting people with their sins, often referred to these last six commands. Think of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus asking what he might do to inherit eternal life. And one of the things he tells him to do is to honor his mother and father. And he's simply pointing out that this man has not done those things. He's not kept the law of God. And as I was studying for this sermon, as I often do, I called some of my preacher buddies, and I like to pick their brains and just see if they've preached on this particular text before. And so I called my friend Eddie Ellison. I went to Fruitland with him. I think some of you have met him. I think he's preached here before. And I said, Eddie, how do you preach honor your mother and father to a congregation that is mostly somewhere between 70 and 85? And he said, oh, that's easy. That's easy. You just stand up and you read the text. Honor your mother and father, that your days might be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then you look at the congregation and you say, well done, everybody, you did it. This morning, I'm going to, in all seriousness though, I think whether you're 5 or 85, I think there's application that can be made from this text for all of us in all of our lives. I'm going to give you my outline up front. I usually don't do that, but it's 5 P's. I usually don't alliterate my outline, but sometimes it falls out that way. This morning, we're going to be looking at the principle, the promise, the parents, the practical, and the penalty. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. The Word of God reads, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Pray with me. Father, help us to understand your word, to apply it to our lives, that we might bring glory to you, and that the world might come to know you as their heavenly Father. Help us now as we turn to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When I told my dad that I was preaching this Sunday and told him what I was preaching on, he said, I sure hope you get something out of it. He said that in jest, but it proved a point. I am still his child, though I have children of my own. When you think about this command, we immediately think about children in the home, those that are still under our roofs. But when these 10 words were given, they were given not first to children, but to grown men and women, adults. So this command does not simply apply to the first 18 years of our lives, but it's something has to be said to something for all of us. The first thing I want to draw your attention to this morning is the principle behind the command to honor your mother and father, and it's simply this: give honor to whom honor is due. God is establishing a nation here. He's giving them laws that they must govern themselves by, and when he begins to focus on these horizontal relationships, he begins with the command to honor your father and mother. Now that's interesting, isn't it? If you were establishing a nation, wouldn't you begin with something like honor the king, or honor the judge, or honor the elder? Why would you begin with honor your father and mother? And the answer is simple. If a person will not honor his father and mother, his father who begot him, his mother who conceived him, he will not properly honor anyone else either. Alistair Begg said it this way: no child, no family, no church, no city, no country, no people will ever give honor where honor is due and respect where respect is demanded unless, says the Bible, they are taught the fundamentals of respect and honor within their own home and for their moms and dads. The word honor here is kavod or kavod, depending on where you're from. But it's the same word used for glory. It means to be weighty. The idea is to pay high regard for, greatly esteem your father and mother. And the Israelites had a broader understanding of what the family unit was made up of. It wasn't simply mom and dad and child, although it was that. But it might include aunts and uncles, sometimes grandparents and great-grandparents. The eldest son in this particular culture would become the head of the family, the patriarch. And the brothers and sisters would defer to them as the spokesman, as the one to whom honor should be given. And so honoring your father and mother is the basic building blocks of society. Again, if one does not respect their own parents, neither will they respect their teachers or police officers or congressmen and women or the president himself or herself. And you may have noticed there's no caveat here. It doesn't say honor your parents as long as they are honorable. No, it doesn't say that. It says honor, they are to be giving honor by the virtue of the position that God has given them. It's true of parents, it's true of those in government, and any other authority that we come into contact with. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed." The principle being established in this first command is to give honor to whom honor is due, beginning first with your mother and father, for that is the first authority figures that every human being comes into contact with, and then going out from there to those who are in authority over you. God has placed them in authority over you. So if I had to guess, Paul probably didn't have a Let's Go Nero t-shirt. Honor to whom honor is due, beginning in the home. I think that's the principle being laid out here. Honor to whom honor is due. So then there follows with this a promise. Honor your mother and father that your days may be long upon the land, which the Lord your God is giving you. The corresponding passage in the New Testament is found in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land." Now this is one of those things we often get hung up on. This promise functions not as an absolute, but as a general proverbial truth. Those who obey their parents generally live longer, peaceful lives than those who are disobedient to their parents. Now, there's always exceptions, but there's also an unspoken understanding that the parents in this covenant context will teach their children what it means to walk in the ways of the Lord. So who will teach their children to tell the truth? Parents will. Who will teach their children to avoid promiscuous lifestyles? Mom and dad. Who will teach their children not only not to murder, but to not hate someone in their hearts? Dad, mom. Who will teach their children to love the Lord their God with all of their hearts and all of their souls and all of their mights and walk in the way that the Lord has laid out for them?
they go on the way, as they rise up, as they lie down, who will teach your children? The unspoken understanding is that these parents will be teaching their children what it means to walk in the ways of the Lord. God has created the world to function in a specific way. And what he's doing is laying out these 10 words because these are 10 life-giving words. And if you will obey these, it will go well with you. And we said this at the beginning and a while back. Just imagine what the world would be like if people actually lived according to the 10 words. Would it not be a much better world? Now, there's always exceptions. But generally, this is the way the world works. When you walk in the ways of the Lord, generally, your life is longer and it goes well with you. Had Adam and Eve honored their father and obeyed his voice, they would not have plunged the world into chaos and death. God's word is life-giving, and so parents teach their children to walk in his ways, to walk in the ways of the Lord, and children are to honor their parents that it may go well with them. I think there's something here for the parents. I realize that a lot of you have already lost your parents. But that does not mean that you still cannot honor them. And you honor them by not putting up plaques in the church, but you honor them by your life and conduct. Have you built upon the foundation of godliness that was laid for you, those of you who had Christian parents? And those of you who did not have Christian parents, you honor them not by throwing shade on them, as the cool people might say today, but at the very least, you can be thankful for the life that you have. You can honor your parents whether they're with us today or not. Secondly, I would say to parents, be honorable. Be honorable. Fred Stiles once said on a Wednesday night about 15 years ago, he rubbed that extended forehead that he has and he says, "Fouts, you never stop raising your children. Your children are still your children, though they may have children of their own. Make it easy for them to honor you by living out faithfully what you profess, namely that Jesus Christ is your King. Though your relationship will certainly change with your children throughout the years and will continue to change, you can still be the voice of reason that gives good, godly counsel to them." And for those of you who don't have children, certainly you should have children in the faith, those whom you disciple. Older women discipling younger women. Older men discipling younger men. Be fathers and mothers in the faith. I would also say to parents, don't be ornery when you get old. No, a lot of you think that might be your right, but it's not. Be honorable. Be honorable. Fourth thing I want to look at this morning is the practical. Just to keep a pretty outline, I'm staying with the P's, the practical. I'm going to just stay with the family unit here. There's application, I think, to be made in all areas of our lives in which we come under authority, whether it's our bosses or government or police officers or whoever it may be. There's application to be made in that, but I'm just going to keep it to the family unit, what we typically think of as the family unit, the mom, the dad, and the children. How do we honor our parents, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child in the home? How do you honor your parents? The Lord takes honoring parents very seriously. In the first five books of the Bible, Moses told us to revere and honor only two things, the Lord and our parents. So that should give you an idea of what Moses, what the Lord thinks about the importance of honoring your parents. So how might we honor them? Number one, express gratitude. Whether you're a small child or a grown man or woman, you honor your parents by expressing gratitude. Kevin DeYoung once said, "Wouldn't it be lovely if our children could express gratitude on Donut Day for longer than 5 seconds?" When is the last time you thanked your parents for the sacrifices that they made for you? The second thing I would say is be humble. Be humble. Just because you know some things that your parents don't know does not make them stupid. Technology is rapidly changing, and I confess I'm falling quicker behind every time I talk to Eric. I'm more and more afraid to turn on my computer. Technology changes so fast. How much more so to a generation of people whose TVs cut off at midnight? Today, this is the ending of today's broadcast, and then it beeps for the next 12 hours. Be humble about many things, but especially about theological things, about spiritual things. You may have far surpassed your parents in their understanding of the Scripture and what it means to live the Christian life. But that does not give you the right to be arrogant and disrespectful to them. In fact, if you had really grown in your faith, you might actually be more kind and more loving and more gracious, seeking to win them to Christ by your good and godly conduct in honor of them, or to spur them on to godliness with the gracious spirit that you suddenly have that has come upon you. You might win them and spur them on. So be humble. The third thing is to care for them. Care for them. Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees confront Jesus about his disciples breaking the traditions of the elders. And this is the account of that story. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." What's happening there was that the Pharisees were trying to circumvent their responsibility to honor and care for their mother and father in their old age by saying, "Well, I dedicated my time to the Lord. I gave my money to the temple. Now I'm no longer obligated to care and provide for you now that you can no longer care and provide for yourself." Jesus says, when you don't care for your parents in their old age, you do not honor them. And Paul firmly lays the responsibility on children to care for their parents in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, "Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first," and this is the children and the grandchildren, "let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God." Now, what that care looks like will vary from situation to situation, from house to house. But my guess is that there's one too many grannies being dumped at the nursing home simply because they are an inconvenience to our lifestyles. All I'm exhorting you to do is to think carefully about how you will care for your aging parents and what your responsibility is. And I wonder, does the church treat the elderly any different from a culture that despises age and deifies youth? The church ought to look different. There are many other ways we could apply this text. Those are just a few of them. I want to put you on some of those tracks to think about. Just the few of you that are still in the home and one just left, obey your parents. You want to honor them? Obey them. Mostly just Jenna at this point and Nessa, right? Obey your parents. And when they ask you to do this something, say, "Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad." When they ask you to sweep up the floor, the answer is, "Well, I didn't make that mess." And that's not an argument you want to start with your mom about cleaning up messes you didn't make. You will lose. You honor your parents by obeying them, by responding with gratitude, by saying, "Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad." Lots of practical application to be made there of what it means to honor. Again, honor to whom honor is due. That goes into all of life under all the authority figures that we will come in contact with. Honor to whom honor is due. Make the application for yourself what that looks like. The fifth thing I want to talk about, and it's not particularly in our text, but it's expounded upon over in Deuteronomy. What is the penalty for breaking this command? In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 20, Moses writes, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastised him or chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil person from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If I had to guess, there probably wasn't too many disrespectful teenagers running around in Israel. The penalty for breaking this command is the same as that of murder, idolatry, blasphemy, adultery, death. I think our society might be wise to take note of that. But here's the brass tacks of it, right? Not only are we all guilty of breaking this command with our earthly parents, but we have spurned the law of God, of our Heavenly Father, and been disrespectful and disobedient and rebellious children deserving of death. Just like that prodigal son that Jesus talks about over in Luke chapter 15. That son who went to his father and said, give me the portion of my inheritance that's coming to me, essentially went to his dad and said, I wish you were dead. Give me what's coming to me. And then he went away and he lived a lifestyle of ungodliness, of worldliness, and he found himself in a pigsty. That son deserved death according to the law of God. But what happened when he came home? His father saw him a long way off, lifted up his robes, and ran out to greet him. And before the son could even finish confessing his sins, what did he do? He robed him. He called him his son. He killed the fattened calf. Brothers and sisters, that is a picture of what our Heavenly Father does for us, for those of us who repent of our sin, turn from our wickedness, and come home to Him. We come home not as slaves, but as sons and daughters. He is a forgiving, loving Father whose words, these 10 words, are the very words of life and the pathway to freedom. You see the connection of why the first thing that the Lord tells us to do in these horizontal relationships is to honor our father and mother. It's because honoring our father and mother connects us back to honoring our true Father, the Creator, Yahweh God. Brothers and sisters, we have been rebellious children, but we have a loving and forgiving Father. Let us turn to Him in faith and repentance. As Christians, that is what we are to do, to confess our sins to Him. For He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Let us pray. Father, I am